Welcome to New Season Ministry with Evangelist Jeremy Cook. We hope today's message will challenge, encourage, and uplift you in your walk with the Lord. Enjoy the message.
Tonight, I want us to continue our series on the cultivating of the spiritual fruit. Brother Jacob, I want you to put Galatians chapter 5, and I want you to read this with me tonight. I want you to read this aloud as we read this, because we've been talking about cultivating the fruit of the Spirit in our lives and how God's desire. We began this by talking, the very first message that I brought in this is that God's desire for fruit. And how that we are tied in, how that we are connected to the vine. And without being connected to the vine, we cannot produce the fruit that God wants us to produce. Why? Because it's called the fruit of the Spirit. And it is the fruit that the Spirit of God works in our lives. And then last Wednesday, we begin to talk about the love of the Spirit and how the starting point of all that God is wanting to do in our lives is based in love. You can do all sorts of other things. You can be prophetic. You can be the greatest preacher. You can be the greatest singer. But if you do not have love, then really none of that other stuff matters. And so I want you, if you would, to stand with me as we read this tonight. And I want you to read this aloud with me as we read this. Are you ready? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. God's desire is for fruit. So let's go in our Bibles tonight. We talked about love. So now let's turn to Philippians chapter 4 and begin reading at verse 4. We're going to talk about joy tonight. And how many knows that it's God's will for us to be filled with the joy of the Lord? Amen. Amen. Two of y'all believe that. Amen. How many knows that it's God's will for us to have the joy of the Lord? Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so let's read and see what Paul the Apostle has to say about joy. In Philippians chapter 4, begin reading at verse 4. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness, or the King James will say, let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious or careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And now let's look at verse 8. Verse 8 would say this: finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, think or meditate on these things. So tonight, for a few moments, I want us to talk about cultivating the joy of the Spirit in your life. Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you for what you are doing in this house tonight, Lord God. Thank you for the opportunity to proclaim your word one more time. God, I'm asking you, Lord, right now that you would let this word go forth
you would anoint our ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. And Father, we'll never cease to give you the praise and the glory and the honor for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church says amen. And amen.
Joy. We hear a lot about joy. We say a lot about joy. We say that we want joy. But really, what we're talking about is happiness. And sometimes we get confused the difference between happiness and real joy. See, happiness is about happenstance. See, one day you can be happy, and the next day you can be sad. Because happiness will always be in direct correlation to what is going on in your life. If the things in your life are going good, I'm happy. If the things are not going so good in my life, then I'm not happy. But there is a difference between happiness and joy. Because true joy, the joy that I want to talk to you tonight about that God wants to develop in your life, the true joy of the Spirit is not a product of the circumstances in your life. It is not about what is going on around you, but it is based on what is living inside of you. Can somebody say amen? You see, if our joy or our happiness is connected to what is going on around us, then we will be emotionally and spiritually bipolar. We will be emotionally and spiritually up one day and down the next. In one day, outside of the next. Have victory one day, don't have victory the next day. But true joy in the Spirit is not the byproduct of the circumstances that are around us. All hell can be coming against you, but because of the Spirit of the Lord that dwells in you, you can have joy on the inside of you. Because joy and true happiness in the Lord is not about your circumstances. It is always about the one that is living on the inside of you. And my brothers and sisters, if you have the Spirit of the Lord living inside of you, you can have fullness of joy, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Can somebody say amen? God declares that our lives are to be filled with joy. I'm going to say that again. God declares that our lives are to be filled with joy. As a matter of fact, the Christian life is one that is full of joy. Oh, let me dig here for a second. You see, the Christian life ought to be filled with joy. Now, I've been around people that claim to be saved, claim to be Spirit-filled. And I'm wondering whether or not if they ever notified their face.
Right.
Because it looked like that they just sucked on a sour dill pickle.
Yeah.
And they sit up and they, you know, and they're in, I've been in churches where they'll sing in the choir and they'll just say, "It's joy unspeakable and full of glory, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory." And I'm like, man, you're really wooing me to the bride of Christ. The thing about it is that God has called us to a life of joy. As a matter of fact, Jesus would look at his disciples and say, "My desire for you is that your joy might be full." Yes. Amen? Amen? It is fullness of joy. As a matter of fact, the Bible would say the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you want strength, you will find it in the joy of the Lord. It is not because everything around you is necessarily perfect or rosy. We understand that in this world we will have tribulations. But he said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And I want to tell you today in this house tonight, you can have fullness of joy. You do not have to be put off by every little slightest thing. Let me ask you this. How is your imperturbability? Now, I just used one of those 50-cent words there. How easily perturbed do you get? If things don't go your way, do you automatically lose all sense of function in your life? I'm a pastor, you have to forgive me. So, if we don't have fried chicken, forgive me, pastor.
Just wrinkle up the menu and throw it at
us. I can say we're far away removed from it. We can joke about it now.
Yes.
But if they're not accepting our coupons,
right?
How perturbed do we get? If the husband is not picking up his dirty socks out of the floor, does that just ruin our day? Does that just ruin our joy? Because the issue is that if the circumstances of life can hinder us to where we are not joyful in everything, then what happens is that we are not connected to the one that gives us true joy. So here's the question. How is your imperturbability? Because an attitude of joy always changes your perspective. What did he say? He said, rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Rejoice in the Lord when everybody likes me. Rejoice in the Lord when I've got plenty of money in the bank. Oh, it doesn't. Now, Sister Steele, you can't be serious. When I'm sick in body, I only rejoice when I get a clean bill of health. I only rejoice when everything is going. No, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And when we choose to rejoice, it changes our perspective. How you view what you are facing in your life right now matters. How you see in your perception. Because here's the thing, a 6 to some people is a 9 to others. It is all about your perspective. And how you view the circumstances of our lives matter. How we view the difficulties and the trials and the tribulations that we are going through. How we view those, they matter. Because it is all about keeping your thought life in check. Where is the war, my brothers and sisters? Right here.
Yeah.
And when we begin to go through the difficulties of life, when we begin to go through the things, how we think about what we are going through matters. How we handle what we go through matters. What we think about the issue at hand matters. How we perceive or our perception of this. If every time, I know Christians that every time something bad happens, they won't come to church for 6 months.
Yeah, right.
I know Christians that as soon as the finances start to get a little tight, they'll stop paying their tithe. I know I wasn't going to need any help on that one there. I know that as soon as the first bump in the road happens along the spiritual journey, sometimes that we fall all to pieces. Because more often than not, we refuse to change our perspective. Because even though we got saved, even though that God forgave us of our sins, the Bible still says that we need what? To be transformed by the renewing of our minds. He would say, I beseech you, my brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How you view what you are going through matters. And you have to keep your thought life in check. And what would the Apostle Paul say about this? He would say, you've got to think, if you want to develop the true joy of the Lord in your life, you've got to think on the right things. You've got to think on the right things. This is what he says. He says, you've got to think on the things that are true. You've got to think on the things that are right. You got to think on the things that are honorable. You got to think on the things that are pure. You got to think on the things that are lovely. You got to think on the things that are admirable and praiseworthy. Those are the things that you have to magnify. You can magnify your problems and see them bigger, and it'll suck the joy of the Lord out of you. But if you will learn to magnify the Lord as you are walking through the circumstances in your life, you will probably find out that the circumstances are not as bad as you thought they were. So what are you magnifying? What are you magnifying in this house tonight? You can I'll be honest with you. Most of you already know this. Our vehicle is in the process of having its transmission overhauled. And I was talking to Pastor about it even before I ever took it and to get it completely diagnosed of what was going on. As soon as the vehicle started giving me trouble in that department, I began to think all sorts of things. And I have the ability, Pastor, to concoct scenarios in my head.
Sure.
That haven't even happened.
Right.
And I begin to magnify something. Oh my goodness, I'm getting ready to preach here. I begin to magnify something for a period of time that wasn't even there.
Right.
Because what I thought was going to happen, what I anticipated was going to happen, actually didn't happen. So I was pacing the floor. I was calling Pastor. I said, well, what do I need to do about this? What do you think? They sold me a bad car and all this. You know, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. And Pastor just had to say, you know what? Just talk to them. And so I was concocting all of this stuff in my mind, magnifying the worst possible thing in the world. And can I tell you? We're all going to experience the bumps in the road of life.
Yes.
At some point or another, you're going to hit a speed bump.
Yes.
At some point or another, there is going to be a pothole in this thing that we call life.
Yes. Yes.
And we have a choice on once that has happened. We can either think about what may happen and begin to magnify the possibilities, or we can magnify the things we know. Oh my goodness. We can magnify, I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know that my Redeemer lives. I can't speculate. I can't worry about the things. Because if I begin to worry about the things that I can't control, it will begin to suck the joy out of my life. And I believe that there are a lot of Christians today that they are walking around with their lip like old Eeyore the donkey, walking around having no joy, having no victory. Why? Because they're always anticipating the worst. They're always anticipating the negative. And but God says you are not to think on those things. He says you are to rejoice.
This is the day that the Lord has made. I will grumble and be hateful in it. That's what some of us do.
Right.
This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to be hateful and despite it all.
Yeah.
And despise it all.
Yeah.
I'm going to be. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to complain, Sister Tanya, all the way through this day. They got my order wrong at McDonald's. I went through the drive-thru at McDonald's. I told them no pickle and they put pickles on it. My goodness, that just... The enemy's trying to fight me today. You laugh.
Yeah.
But some of you have rebuked devils out of crazier things than that.
That's why we're laughing, brother. You're right. You're
exactly right.
Yeah. We've been there.
This is the day that the Lord has made. And I'm going to be grumpy all day in it. That's the theme song of a lot of ours.
Yeah.
Of a lot of our lives. But that is not what the Bible says. The Bible says that this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Because here's the thing about joy. Real joy is an inside job. Real joy is an inside job. True joy is based on what God has done inside of us and not the circumstances surrounding us. As a matter of fact, joy is a person. And I'm not talking about Sister Joy here. She is a person. But joy is manifested in Jesus. You want love? Let me tell you everything about the fruit of the Spirit here and capitalize in just one statement. You want love? You want joy? You want peace? You want meekness? You want temperance? You want long suffering? You want self-control? It's found in Jesus.
Yeah.
You can't manufacture it. You can't manufacture the joy. You can't manufacture the peace. You can't manufacture the love. You can't manufacture the long suffering. Because some people you just don't want to put up with. But when the Spirit of God begins to do the work, that fruit will become evident.
Yes.
And here's, oh my goodness, thank you, Holy Ghost. And here's the thing about the fruit of the Spirit. You just don't get one at a time. It's either going to manifest or it's not. You don't have love one day and then the next day you have a little bit of peace. It's either in season or it's not. But real joy is an inside job and it's in a person. And His name is Jesus. And here's the thing about this, because this is something that a lot of us at times don't. It sounds like an oxymoron. But do you know that true joy and your trials and sufferings can coexist? True joy and everything falling apart around you can coexist.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. You see, thank you, Lord. Here was the issue with the children of Israel when they came to the Red Sea. Come to the Red Sea. There is the Red Sea in front of them. There is Pharaoh's army closing behind them.
Yeah.
Mountains on either side of them. They have seen what God can do. They have seen God take 10 plagues and break the back of Pharaoh and Egypt. But they get out there
and they start grumbling, they start complaining, they start murmuring, they come against the man of God, they come against Moses, and said, why in the world did you bring us out here?
Yes.
Were you satisfied that there were no graves in Egypt? Moses goes to God and says, God, what are we going to do about this? God tells Moses, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, stretch your rod out over the sea.
Yeah.
He stretches his rod out over the sea. God's spirit begins to move. The waters part. The children of Israel grow on dry ground. Pharaoh's army tries to follow them. The walls, the water collapses on them. Pharaoh and his army are killed. And my God, camp meeting starts on the other side of the river.
Yes.
Miriam gets the tambourine and they start shouting and praising the Lord. They start, they're running the aisles, they're throwing babies up in the air, they're walking across the tops of the pews, they're swinging from the chandeliers, they're doing everything. I mean, they're having church.
Yeah.
Yes. I like that until I had heard Brother David Wilkerson preach a message one time, and he said, here was the problem. They were singing the right song, but they were singing on the wrong side of the sea. Where was that rejoicing when everything was closing in on them?
Come on now.
Oh, it's easy. It's easy when the blinded eyes are open.
Yes.
It's easy when the deaf ears are unstopped.
Yes.
It's easy when we didn't have any money and all of a sudden somebody gives and somebody, God blesses us somehow. And my goodness, we kind of run into the church, go, woo, look what the Lord has done. And we buck and shout and run all over the place. But though before all of that, you were pacing the floors, grumbling and complaining, oh God, I don't know how I'm gonna get through any of all this. God, I thought you were always gonna be the supplier of my needs. Right song, wrong side of the problem.
Yeah, right.
Amen. I'm preaching better than you're shouting right now.
Yeah.
See, because joy is an inside job, and your trials and sufferings, they can all coexist. Because Hebrews 12 tells us that Jesus learned joy through what?
Through suffering.
Woo. You mean to tell me that God can teach me joy through the pain? Absolutely. You see, joy was found in obedience. And a joy-centered focus keeps us from despairing over our present circumstances and sorrows.
Now, I don't want anybody to walk away from this message saying, oh, you know, well, Pastor Jerry's making light of everything that I'm going through. That's not what I'm doing. That's not what I'm doing. I'm not making light of anything. Listen. When I was sick and laying in the hospital bed and doctors told me that I'd never walk again, I wasn't thankful for laying in the hospital bed. I'm just being honest with you. I wasn't thankful for that. But I can rejoice in that. And there is a difference. There are days when we weep. And there is a time for weeping.
Yes.
But if David did that in Ziklag, when his family was taken away from him, when the city was burned down, when his congregation was coming against him and saying, you know what? You led us out this way, so I think we'll just take up stones. We ain't going to vote in a new pastor. What we'll do is we'll just take up stones and we'll kill you. And he had no one. And the Bible says that he wept until he had no more power to weep. The Bible says, but though there comes a point in everything, like David did, he had to encourage himself in the Lord. We can't do anything about the potholes in life. They're going to come. But a joy-centered focus on the Lord
keeps us from despairing over our present circumstances and sorrows, because here's the truth. And we have to rejoice in these truths. God is at work. God is at work. He is building something in you. Because James would write in James chapter 1 verses 2 through 4. I love how James writes, because he doesn't go through like all the introductions that Paul goes through. You know, Paul, he'll take 3 or 4 verses and go, you know, a Paul, a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ, and an apostle, and a bishop, and all, you know, we've read them. James doesn't do any of that. James just starts right off the bat, and this is how he opens his book, and he says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations.
Yes.
Because here's what he says. He says, the trying of your faith builds patience, or it builds endurance. Why do you rejoice? Why is the joy of the Lord there? Is because what you're going through may not necessarily be about anything that the enemy is doing, but everything about what God is trying to build on the inside of you. See, I know, church, hear me out here. Please don't misunderstand me. Because I believe that in this day and age, we need the discernment to understand what is of satanic attack, but not every negative thing is an attack of the enemy.
Right.
And he says, count it all joy, because the testing produces endurance in you. Because when we let that work happen in us, all of a sudden, something begins to happen on the inside of us, and we become perfect and complete, the Bible says. See, if you're like me, growing up and going to school, they don't do them so much now. I taught middle school for 5 years down in Florida before I moved here. And they told us it wasn't good to do these things anymore because it was antiquated. You remember, especially when you got into junior high and high school, you would walk in to the classroom and sit down, and your teacher would walk in. And the teacher would look at you and go, all right, boys and girls, put away everything. You got a pop quiz. And there were sometimes, still, I was ready for that. And then there were sometimes when that teacher would make that announcement, I would sit there and my knees would start rattling and I'd start shaking. Because I hadn't studied. And I hadn't prepared myself.
Right.
And I hadn't taken in what the instructor and the teacher was trying to tell me. But what the test revealed, the test always revealed the work that needed to be accomplished in the student. And more often than not, we would walk out of that classroom going, man, I hate that teacher. And why can't we just have the fun teacher down the hallway that lets all the kids just do whatever they want to do and doesn't care about anything? I never knew of one student that ever walked out of classroom after pop quiz and go, woo, praise the Lord, I'm thankful for it. But just like in those days, we get the pop quizzes in life And how we respond to know that really what the teacher is doing is seeing how prepared you are. Because what I have learned is this. Everything in life, thank you, Holy Ghost. Everything in life is about capacity. When I found this Bible. Oh, thank you, Lord. Is this okay, Pastor?
Yes, sir.
When I found this Bible, memories began to flood in at the start of my ministry. I mean, when God called me into ministry, man, I thought I was going to be the next Rod Parsley. I thought I was going to be the next whatever, you know. And you know where I found myself, Sister Tanya? When I went and I told my pastor, and I said, God's called me to ministry. And I told my youth pastor, I was 16 years old, God's called me to ministry. You know, I'm thinking, I'm going to be up there. You know, we had a church that ran about 500-600 people. I mean, I thought, you know, next Sunday I was going to be up there and preaching. You know where I found myself? And I'm not trying to be funny. I'm really not. But for about the next 5 to 6 months, every Sunday afternoon, I found myself in the nursing home. Then wheeling in people that honestly either didn't want to be there, didn't know they were there. Can I just be honest? I'm just being honest. Out of a group of about 30 people that was in there, there might have been two that actually knew what I was talking about. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be funny. And I'm standing there and I'm trying to preach. I'm trying to do what God has called me to do. And some little old lady sitting about halfway back, you know, tries to stand up out of her wheelchair and goes, "What time is dinner?" You got one old boy on the front in his wheelchair. He's drooling and everything, falling asleep. I'm thinking, God, what is this? At 16 years old, I'm thinking, God, but I wouldn't trade those days now for anything in the world. Because what it did is it built capacity. What God was teaching me, He said, if you can't be faithful where I have planted you to start, you cannot grow in to what I am wanting to do and you. And so many times throughout the course of this life, we are wanting the things that we are not ready for. I'm preaching to somebody in this house right now.
Come on, Jim.
And when they don't happen, or when the trials or the difficulties come around, we get upset and we fall and we fall to pieces. But the Bible says, count it all joy because there is something that is working. I'm trying to build. I'm trying to work something in you so that you can be perfect and complete. Give me a few minutes and I'll finish this up. God's not only is God at work, but God's ways will prevail. You can rejoice in that. He will harvest joy out of your tears. My God, thank you, Holy Ghost. Because He would say in Psalm chapter 126, verses 5 and 6, He says, those that sow in tears reap in joy. God keeps track of every tear that's been shed. He bottles them up. As a matter of fact, one singer would sing a song that says, tears are a language. God understands. And as you are crying out to Him in the midst of whatever the difficulty is in your life, God is bottling them up because He is saying,
I will harvest the tears and joy. And there is coming a day where it may not seem like it right now, but the Bible says that those that sow in tears will reap in joy, that they will come rejoicing, bringing their sheaves with them. See, if you sow in tears, you'll reap in joy. And you will come around rejoicing. Are you ready? Because of the sorrow. He will also give you peace in the midst of your anxiety. Paul wrote in our text in Philippians chapter 4, and he says, be careful for nothing, or do not be anxious for anything. You know what that means? Don't worry. I thought that it was interesting. I was thinking about this afternoon as I was going over these notes, Sister Kathy. When we had that funeral here a while back, out of all the songs that could be played, there was a song, an old song that said, don't worry, be happy. Now you may think, well, that's not a funeral appropriate song, because when we have a funeral, we ought to all come together and boo-hoo and cry and what have you. And I get all that. But it was a statement of life to don't worry. Jesus would say it like this: take no thought for tomorrow. Yeah. Don't worry about tomorrow. What you're going to put on, what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. Because listen to what he says. He says, if I so clothe the lilies of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more am I willing to take care of what you need? Right. So don't be anxious. God's peace will also guard you. And he will give you strength for weakness. His grace will be enough for you. His strength will take over in your weakness. And he can even bring life out of dead situations. Dr. Tim Hill wrote a song years ago, and I love it. If I knew all the words to it, I would sing it. He would say it like this. He'd say, I'm not in a valley. I'm just changing mountains. Why? Because it's all about perspective. It is always about perspective, and we can rejoice in these truths. Here's what I learned, and I'm bringing this to a close. I'm thankful for God the deliverer, but I'm also thankful for God the sustainer. And here's what I know is this: God always has two outcomes, and that is this: God will either deliver you or he'll sustain you. And sometimes I thought that he should have delivered me when he just sustained me. And sometimes he delivered me when I thought the only thing he would do was sustain me. But we know that regardless of what God decides to do, you have the ability, because of the Spirit that lives on the inside of you, to rejoice. So that's my question to you tonight is this: how is your joy? How is your joy that God is wanting to cultivate in you? Are you up one day, down the next? You've got joy today, but don't have no joy tomorrow.
It's easy to have joy in a service like this. It's easy. It's easy in a service like this to say, yep, I got joy. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I got joy. Nothing's going to take that joy away from me. It's a whole other thing when you wake up on Monday morning and life is there. And there's things that we have to deal with. There's things that we have to overcome. There's things, there's temptations that come our way. There's transmissions that go out on your vehicle. How do you handle, can I just say it like this? How do you handle when the transmissions of life give out on you? You can make a choice, as Paul the Apostle would write, to rejoice in the Lord always. I don't rejoice in my circumstances. I rejoice in the Lord. Because I know that no matter what comes my way, let me just say this, what true joy will do to you is true joy will do what Paul the Apostle would say. Whether I stay here or I go home, I'm a winner either way. Because if I stay here, it'll be beneficial for you, for what God is wanting to do in you. But if I close my eyes in death on this side, I know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So either way, I rejoice in it. How is your rejoicing tonight? How is your joy tonight? Stand with me in this house.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Evangelist Jeremy Cook. If you would like more information regarding New Season Ministry, to schedule Jeremy to minister at your event, or to support the ministry with a love gift, please contact us at 859-404-4007. Or you may email him at pastorjeremycook@gmail.com. God bless, and we will see you next time on New Season Ministry.